Several months ago, I guess it was, I was flipping channels and ran across a minister. Well, actually, he's a priest, a Catholic priest. And yeah, you know, most time I turn channels, you know, and sometimes they're speaking in Latin and doing all the stuff. But this guy, you know, he was talking like a regular person, and I listened to him for a few minutes, and it's pretty good what he had to say and the way he said it. And he asked a question, and the question is, what is the most serious sin today? You know, what would you say is the most serious sin today? And he said, you know, some people might say abortion, and he talked about that for a minute, and some people might say, and he mentioned several sins like that. But he said that the most serious sin is the loss of a sense of sin. The most serious sin is the loss of a sense of sin. He said that Pope Pius XII actually said that. But I thought that was pretty good. A few weeks ago, some of us were in the church in Statesville, and Chris Wilkes talked about the policeman on the force that would, I believe, take the Lord's name a lot in vain. And he asked him about that, and the policeman's response a little bit later on was, well, he said, I'm forgiven. You know, that's the difference between me and you. He said, I'm forgiven. But you wonder, you know, had he lost the sense of a sense of sin, you know, a person that would do that, you know, had he lost people who overlook and tolerate and justify abortion, you know, have they lost a sense of sin? I mean, abortion has been going on so long here in the United States of America, and what is it, 40 some million people have been aborted, I believe, something like that. And in the news here recently, there was the abortion doctor, Dr. Tiller, who was murdered, which, you know, that wasn't right either. And I saw that on the television, or read it on the internet, maybe probably both. I forget how many abortions that this doctor performed. Did I read? Did somebody say he had done, or his clinic had done, was it 60,000?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah, 60,000 over a period of I don't know how many years. But I was a little bit surprised that he was a church-going man. You know, he went to church. Oh, yeah, he was an usher in the church, and his wife sings in the choir. So the question is, had he and the whole church, had they lost a sense of the sense of sin, you know? Of course, he probably goes to a liberal-type church that, and evidently they didn't talk much about abortion, or their position on it is different than what ours is. But, yeah, that was sort of struck me, that, you know, here's a man that, how can you go to church or go to a church, you know, week after week and perform all those abortions unless you have lost, you know, the sense of sin? Now, and of course, I know, you know, about as far as going to church, that the church is a place for sinners. So I understand that. But, you know, did his minister ever say anything about abortion? You know, for a person to perform all those abortions year after year and still go to church. We'll get into some reasons for a loss of the sense of sin and why some people don't know what sin is just a little bit later. How far can a person go, or a society, when they've lost a sense of sin? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 23, and we'll look at one case. Ezekiel chapter 23. We're going to read verse 37. Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 37. For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. They have committed adultery with their idols, and even sacrificed their sons, whom they bore to me, passing them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day, and profaned my Sabbaths. For after they had slain their children for their idols, on the same day they came into my sanctuary to profane it, and indeed, thus they have done in the midst of my house. I remember Ron Dart talking about this. I believe this was the scripture he referred to. So he talked about a people that basically they went to church, or you know, they went to the sanctuary, they went to the temple, they went to some service. It says my sanctuary, and before they went to church or after they went to church, you know, they sacrificed their children. You know, passed them through the fire. You know, they burnt their child up to the god of Moloch, I guess. That's how you say it. And yet these were church-going people. So I mean, you know, how far can you go when you when you've lost a sense of sin? You know, evidently they had lost a sense of sin to be able to go to church or to be able to go to the sanctuary. It says they defile my sanctuary on the same day and profane my Sabbaths, and yet they went that far to where they would pass their own children through the fire, sacrifice their own children. What about the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? You know the story. I believe God said if he could find, what was it? He got down to 10 people. And I don't think he meant or he was looking for 10 perfect people, you know. But perhaps if he could have just found 10 people who had not lost their sense of sin, you know, he would have spared the city. Speaking of Sodom and Gomorrah, while we're in Ezekiel, if you'll flip back to chapter 16, I read this scripture before one time and talked about it. But since we're this close to it, since I've mentioned this, in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, speaking of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw fit." You know, here was a group of people. And, you know, when you look at these sins, the way it starts off, you know, they don't seem that bad in themselves. You know, they had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. But then they were haughty and committed abomination for me. I'd say that pride can lead to a loss of a sense of the sense of sin. You know, it didn't just happen overnight. You know, these people didn't just wake up one day and decide to become, you know, homosexuals. It started with pride, idleness, fullness of food. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of food, but you are expected, you know, to share it. There's nothing wrong with some of those things. Idleness, I guess, is, you know, idle hands of the devil, as they say, but, you know, sounds a little bit like the United States of America, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. The days of Noah, you know, God wiped out, you know, the whole earth. And probably one reason why he did it, you know, the whole earth had lost the whole, you know, the sense of a conviction of sin. You know, except for Noah and his family. What are some things, I'm going to list three things, there's probably more, that can cause a loss of a sense of sin. One of them is to lose your standard, you know, lose your sign. You know, here's your sign. Suppose you don't have a sign. Suppose somebody takes a sign down. Suppose somebody, you know, moves the sign. You know, Satan likes to do that. He likes to move the sign, change them around. You know, here's a sign. You're going down the road. The bridge is out. You take that sign down. People run off the road. How many have you ever got up in the night, you use the bathroom, and you don't turn the light on? And maybe it's dark and the moon's not out, but you still find your way there. You feel the bed, you feel the door, whatever you go by. You know, these are signs or standards. You know, suppose somebody played a joke on you. Suppose while you was asleep, they moved your bed around and rearranged your room. You know, you'd probably have a hard time finding your way to the bathroom unless you turn the light on. Well, that's what happens when you lose your standards, you lose your sign. I've never flown, but they say when you're flying in an airplane, they have an instrument. It was a gyroscope, something like that. That lets you know if you're flying level. You know, they say that you can be flying what, upside down, and you can be flying down toward the ground if you don't have that instrument. If you're in the clouds, especially, you become disoriented. I mean, a ruler. You know, it's a foot long, 12 inches. Everybody knows about how big a foot is. A ruler. You know, suppose you had to try to build a house with a rubber ruler. You know, and it stretched and it shrunk. You know, you wouldn't have any standard to go by. You know, you got to have standards. You know, God. That's why God says not to have in your bag different weights and heavy and a light, and not to have a different measures, a large and a small. You know, you shall have a perfect and just weight. That's Deuteronomy 25:13-16, and it's listed other places in the Bible. You know, it's talking about a just set of scales. You know, so if you go to buy a pound of hamburger meat, you get a pound of hamburger meat. You know, you don't change the standards. You know, once you have a standard. And the standards we're talking about, you know, who sets the standards? You know, as far as important ones, we're talking, you know, God sets the standards, and you know, he doesn't change them. But if you go to changing them, then you can lose a sense of sin. Number two sort of goes along with losing the standard. Number two is if you change definitions. You know, if you change the definition of a word, if sin is no longer sin, if abortion is not murder, but it's just, it's pro-choice, it's choice, you know, you sort of change the definition. They don't call it pro-death, you know, they don't like that word, but they call it choice. You sort of change the definitions of words. Instead of a sexual disorder, you know, just it's gay. You know, you just sort of change the definition of it. You know, the American Psychiatric Association back in the 70s, they got together, not all of them, but and they decided to no longer classify homosexuality as a disorder. And it was, they said there really wasn't any science behind it. It's more of a politically motivated thing they did. So they took it out of that classification. Of course, just because, you know, a bunch of people get together and vote, you know, that's like if a bunch of people got together and said, well, the sky is green and the grass is blue, that wouldn't make it so. Just because some psychiatrists get together and vote and take it out of that category. You see, if they had left it in that category, you know, sexual disorder, then a person might recognize, well, I need help, you know. But now if you just call it gay, well, you know, well, I don't need help. There's nothing wrong with me, you know. Religion. Now, there's a word that the definition has changed. You change the definition of the word religion. Religion used to mean the duty that one owes to God and the manner in which you discharge it. It used to mean a belief in God. Now, religion just sort of means a belief. Sandy, in one of the articles he wrote for the magazine, went over the different definitions of religion. And what was it after 19... Was it after 63? You couldn't find a dictionary that mentioned God with the definition of religion. You know, if you go back to what is it, Webster's dictionary, original, you know. Yeah. But once you get past 1963, the word religion doesn't have a reference to it, to God. You know, it's just a belief. It could be a belief in God, or it could be a belief in a false God. It could be a belief in anything. It could be like it. T-shirt says everybody's got to believe in something. I believe I'll have another beer. You know, I mean, that's a belief, right? You know, so you change the definition. So a person nowadays could say that they're a religious person today, and you know, it could mean something entirely different from what we might think it means. The remember Judge Roy Moore? He was removed from office, and the big monument was removed. Now the judge, Myron Thompson, the federal judge that ruled against him, used the word religion or religious more than 150 times in a 79-page opinion, but then said he could not define the term. I mean, that's as bad as changing the definition, you know. You know, here's a word, you know, you're ruling on something that has to do with religion. You use the word religion or religious 150 times in 79-page opinion, but they said that, you know, they couldn't define it. One of the attorneys for against Judge Roy Moore said, you know, it'd be dangerous to define it. You know, we can't go saying what religion means. And yet they ruled on something that involved religion. You know, if you can change the definition of a word, then you can change the law without passing a law or without doing away with the law. It'd be like an umpire. You know, you wanted a certain team to win, so you start calling strikes when it's balls, you start going balls when it strikes, you call somebody out and they're safe, and you start changing the definitions, changing the rules in the middle of a game, you can, you know, get your way. Words that have changed, you know, Sunday, Sabbath, you know, Sunday's sort of thought of, or used to be sort of thought of, you know, as the Sabbath, and sort of changed the definition of it, you know. And the Bible says in Isaiah, I didn't write it down, but woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And that's what you're doing when you're changing the definitions of certain words like that. It's a way to get by. You know, you call good evil and evil good. You change the definition of it. Well, if that goes on long enough, you know, you can lose a sense of sin. Also, third, a loss of the sense of sin is caused by justifying one's sin. You know, it doesn't seem that bad. You know, it doesn't seem like sin, and it doesn't seem that bad. And it might not seem that bad if the standards have been removed and the definition has been changed. You know, you've got a whole society where the definition has been changed and the standards have been removed, they probably don't see it as that bad. But I suspect Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, it didn't seem that bad when they took that fruit. I'm sure that piece of fruit was a nice-looking piece of fruit. You know, it wasn't, I don't think it was rotten, had worms hanging out of it. I'm sure it was very appealing, very attractive. When David King David saw Bathsheba bathing. You know, I'm sure he never dreamed that it would lead to everything it did to, you know, adultery and murder. All right, sin is the transgression of the law, right? 1 John 3:4. And the Pharisees, you know, they were experts in the law, right? But the question is it possible for even an expert in the law to have a loss of the sense of sin? Is it possible for even an expert in the law? I think I'm just off. It's 23. Chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and asin and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. You know, James 4:17 says, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, Jesus is getting on the Pharisees here. He's saying, you know, yeah, you know, you should tithe. That's all right, but don't neglect the justice and mercy. You know, these were experts at the law, and yet when it came to certain matters, you know, especially mercy and sometimes justice, you know, they had sort of lost a sense of sin. You know, they didn't see anything wrong with some of the stuff they were doing, and they had even though they were experts of the law. The Good Samaritan. Now, we won't turn there, but remember the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, a person laying on the side of the road in the parable, beaten up, robbed, and a priest passes him by, and a Levite passes him by, and then the Samaritan stops and bandages him up, takes him to the doctor, takes him to a motel, and, you know, who was the neighbor, you know, the person that stopped and had compassion, the person that had compassion, the Samaritan. You know, did the priest and the Levite not know that the law said to love your neighbor as yourself? Or did they have a loss of a sense of sin? You know, maybe the Levite and the priest, maybe they were in a hurry to get to church. They didn't want to, I don't know. When they passed him by. Which, you know, if strictly obeying the law causes your neighbors pain or to stumble, then we might have to reconsider our actions. You know, sometimes obeying God, you know, may cause someone to be offended, you know. But you know, in conclusion, when you have a loss of a sense of sin, then you lose the possibility of repentance. You know, you have to be convicted of sin before you can repent. Now, our world is losing its sense of sin. You know, some of them never had much of a sense of sin in the first place. But even people that have the law and God's Spirit can, as you know, I believe Paul said, you know, don't quench the Spirit. And if you do that, then you might start to have a loss of the sense of sin. No sense of sin means, you know, you won't ask for forgiveness. I mean, what's to forgive, right, if you lose a sense of sin? We must never let that happen in our own lives, and we must help those that still have a sense of sin.